It is our privilege this evening to have a very special guest, Dr. Nick Gorgita. His friend, Mark Acuff, who is pastor of the Grace Baptist Church of Marlboro, will come in just a moment and read scripture for Dr. Gorgita and also introduce him. But before that, I want to assure Dr. Gorgita that this congregation has been praying for him and our brothers and sisters in Romania for many years. Joseph Son has been here, and he has told us of the struggle of the Christians there. And both before the revolution and since the revolution and in the Reconstruction, we have been praying for you, brother. And we trust that you have sensed that we here on this side of the ocean have been praying for you there. And for those of us in the congregation, as we listen to our brother speak tonight, this is one of the answers to our prayer. So listen carefully. We're privileged to have Dr. Gorgita tonight, for he didn't come to Boston to speak at Park Street, but Reverend Acuff was gracious enough to ask if we would want to be part of this ministry, and we quickly grabbed at the opportunity and are glad to hear Dr. Gorgita tonight. So Mark Acuff, the pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Marlboro, will read scripture and then introduce our guest. Mark?
If you turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43, and Dr. Gorgita will be speaking out of a passage that begins with verse 18. Hear the word of the Lord. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Yet, you have not called upon me, O Jacob. You have not wearied yourselves for me, O Israel. You have not brought me sheep for burnt offerings, nor honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with grain offerings, nor wearied you with demand for incense. You have not bought any fragrant calamus for me, or lavished on me the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your offenses. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. If you're familiar with the story of Dr. Joseph Zon, now the president of Romanian Missionary Society, you remember that in 1980 he was given an ultimatum by the communist government. As pastor of the largest Protestant church in all of Eastern Europe, he was told that he must either leave the country or go to prison. Christians who prayed with him and counseled him encouraged him to leave the country, believing that he could do more good for them and for the kingdom if he came west and told the story of what God was doing there. Because God had done a remarkable work of his spirit under the communist regime. Well, the man that Second Baptist Church asked to come be their pastor was Dr. Nick Gorgita, an internationally known and trained medical doctor practicing for over 25 years in the city of Deva. Most importantly about Dr. Gita, he had been a dedicated follower of Christ for many, many years. Because of his excellent English, early in his medical practice, he spent much of his time in the evenings translating English Christian books into Romanian, and then had a friend who would type them up and bind them, and they would circulate them among the Christians in Romania. What seemed to be a preposterous request was the will of God for Dr. Gorgita. So in 1980, he left his medical practice, his income, his livelihood, and the pride of the communists for being such an internationally known doctor, and he became the pastor of Second Baptist Church and led that church through its final 8 years under the Ceausescu regime. A few weeks ago, I had the privilege of visiting Romania, and Dr. Gheorghiță was my host for a number of days, and I got to see, as your own group last summer got to see, the wonderful work that God has done there. Dr. Gheorghiță has been in our country for now 3 weeks, and he'll be here another 3 weeks, and this is his first trip to Boston. And thank you for joining with me to welcome him to our area. Dr. Gheorghiță.
Thank you, Pastor, for giving me the possibility to witness this evening with you all. This evening, I understood more the power I felt all the time, and I knew that many Christians are praying for me. I will tell you just an event after some years, the secret police and the police was very mad because the church increased in number and they invited me at the police station and they said, in 2 hours you have to leave Oradea. My family lived about 200 km away from there. I said, it's impossible. It's a terrible snow outside. They said, you have to leave. So I took the car. Usually it took me about 3 hours to reach Deva. That time was 11 hours. It was on Wednesday. I was there in Deva for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And on Saturday afternoon I said to my wife, I have to go to the church. And I have an excellent wife. She said, yes, I think so, Nick. I did not have that time the internal passport. They took from me and they said, if you will go somewhere to preach, you will be put in prison. I said, I go to the church. I said to my wife, be careful, I will try to tell you from railway station if I am in the train or in other part. My wife took the phone and phoned to my colleague, to my associate, whose name is Paul. And she said to him, Paul, be careful. Silas is coming. And Paul said, who is Silas? So next day on Sunday, 9:30, I arrived in Oradea. When Paul saw me, he's a very balanced man, he started to weep. And he said, Nick, you know something? The whole church is on their knees now. And I was so embarrassed, they started to cry to the Lord, we want our pastor Nick in our midst today. And I was embarrassed. How can it happen? Your prayer, I feel, gave me the boldness to confront the communist police and to go to serve the Lord. I want to tell you that, generally speaking, they have been very angry with us. They said that we, the new Protestant movement there in Romania, are American spies. We help you to know, I don't know what you had to know in our country, because we don't have too many things which interested you. We are at least 40 years behind you. And I don't know if you want eventually old things to have in your empty collection. But they said, you are American spies. So I remember when secret police called me again and said, come to us. And they said, we have a list here. Last Sunday, they have been foreigners in your church. I said, no, sir. I won't allow to any foreigners to come into my church. And especially, I won't allow them to preach from my pulpit. But they said, we have the list here. Yes, I said, maybe I have to explain what I mean by foreigners. I said, the list you have are our brother and sister from Western countries, which belong to the same living body of Jesus Christ. The foreigners are you communists, and I won't do the mistake to allow you to preach your Marxism from the pulpit of this church. Many, many things happen. But praise the Lord, we just hear that Lord said, forget the former thing, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Praise God, He is able to do everything, every time, a new thing. Let's see what is the promise of the new thing of God. What is the purpose of the new thing of God and the perspective. Let us see the promise. If we read in the context of this chapter, we will see that this God, this time, the people have been in Babylon. And, of course, when you are in slavery, you are not very happy, no? You must be very strong to be happy. Only Jesus said, be happy when they persecute you. But generally speaking, we are not very happy when we are in slavery. So, this people have been in Babylon. And God says, forget the former thing. Do not dwell on the past. You know that they have been in another slavery in Egypt. Look with me in the same chapter in verse 3. For it is written here, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom. God wants to help the people of Israel. God heard the cry, the shout of the people, and He looked for a man. And He is looking now for a man. And I was so encouraged this evening that if all of you are committed to God, there is hope for Boston. Only you. Don't think. You see that we plus Jesus are the majority. You know? Do you agree with this? May God give you this evening this stir to come and to serve Him. People from Israel cried, God chosen Moses and said, go and take my people from Egypt. And Moses said, who am I? Who am I? We are nobody. But with Christ, we are somebody. And so he succeeded through the mighty hand of God to liberate Israel. They came through the sea, Red Sea, and they came on the other part, and they sit down there and sang an excellent song, the praising God, your mighty power. You killed our enemies and everything. Joy, joy. The next day, They continue to sing. Do you think so? We Christians, we do not sing all the time. The next day they went to Moses and said, "We are hungry. Give us something to eat." And Moses had no freezer as you have, or deposit of food. And he went to God and said, "God, these people are hungry." And the other day they found manna. And they looked and they ate. And they went to Moses and they said, "Only manna? We are fed up of manna." And Chuck Swindoll says that Mrs. Moses gave 1,001 recipe to prepare manna. We are fed up. We are thirsty. So they received water. Afterwards they said, "Now we need some meat." And God gave them meat. And do you think they have been satisfied? Do you hear another song of praise to God saying, "Praise God, we have everything we need"? No, they continue to murmur. The cucumbers from the Egypt. And we, and especially, forgive me to tell you, are you Americans satisfied with what God gave to you? May God help you. I am so happy that in Lord's Prayer there is no written, "Give us this day our monthly bread." Because we are tempted to do this. We need for tomorrow, for the day after tomorrow. All the time we want more than we have. God bless America. It's a special country in the world today. What are Americans doing? Thanking to the Lord? Praising God? Or murmuring, "We are in recession, sir. This is not so good to us now. This is not like in the old time we live. Oh, you would have to come here 40 years ago." Murmur, murmur. May God help us to understand. Because as I came today, the other time, the prophet told to the Israel, "Be careful, obey God. Otherwise you will go in an even worse slavery." Did they listen? Did they obey? No. So they went to the Babylonian slavery. It was worse. But God has done a new thing with that slavery also. Read with me verse 14. And from that slavery also, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. "For your sake I will send to the Babylon and bring down as fugitive all the Babylonians." Power! And suddenly God said, "I will do a new thing. I will transform your slavery." Maybe for you it was very interesting to see at the TV that time. I remember our president, which was a proud man. He had a large gathering in the main square of Bucharest. He tried to have the same speeches. And suddenly the people started to shout, "Hoo!" And he was amazed. He looked and said, "What happened?" The secret police agent said, "Be careful." "No, no, stop, stop." The people said, "Hoo, hoo, we don't need you anymore."
and he couldn't believe his eye. There's a stop. Be still. Now the people are, woo. And somebody started to shout, God is with us. And all the people, thousands and thousands, multitudes of people there started, God is with us. God is with us. So God has done a tremendous thing in Romania and escaped us from that man. You see that in the first day of Christmas, it was written on our main paper. In the day of Christmas, Antichrist was shot. He was terrible against religion. He did not want to know any other God than only himself. God can transform the most desperate situation. Praise him. Believe him. Trust him. What was the purpose of God with a new thing? Look here with me in the verse 19 and 20. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it spring up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert, the streams in the wasteland. The wild animal honor me. Because I provide water in the desert and stream in a wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen. Oh, God's purpose is to satisfy us. I will give you, do you understand, in the desert, I will give you water. I will give you what you need. Why do you think that God wants to do this? Look here in the scripture, and it said in verse 21, the people I form for myself, that they might proclaim my praise. Why? God give us everything we need. Why? So that we will have time to praise his holy name. And did the people do this? Now let us see the perspective. The people all the time fail to cope with God. Look here and see in verse 22. Yet you have not called upon me, O Jacob. You have not wearied yourself for me, O Israel. You have not brought me sheep burnt offering. You did not bring to me your sacrifices. And that is a point which every one of us have to consider this evening. What do cost you to be a follower of Jesus? The people of Israel failed to cope with God. They did not bring what they have to bring. Do we live sacrificially for Jesus? It's a question. A big question mark. And be careful, sacrificially. Not only going to the church twice in a week. I know what does it mean to sacrifice. When in 81 the church came to me and said, we need you as a pastor. I said, no. I'm fine. As a doctor, it's comfortable. I can help you to preach the gospel, but I won't come to be your pastor. And they said, now, this is the time. And for 4 years, I did not have residency there. I did not have the right to live there. All the time I was harassed, fined, kicked out by the secret police, followed every day. Every day. I went one time home and I have my nap.
and in the afternoon my wife came in to my room and she said, "Nick, what are you doing there? You know it's the time to go to Oradea." I said, "Honey, it's too difficult for me. At my age, to be from house to house is very difficult." And she said, "Nick, I am ashamed of you." Did you hear? "Nick, I am ashamed of you." Nick, there have been missionaries which went to Africa, South America, and died for Christ. It's too difficult for you to drive 200 km? Nick, your luggages are ready. Take them and go to the flock. Sacrifice. You know what does it mean? I don't want to be proud. No, no, no. But do you understand that for us, God sacrificed what He has the best? His only begotten Son. So that we can, through faith, have everlasting life. Do you know in your Christian way what does it mean to sacrifice for Jesus? And I have to close to tell you that the perspective, the bright perspective is that God's nature is to take care of us. Read with me verse 25 and you will see. Here is written, I am He who blots out your transgression for my own sake and remember your sin no more. I, says the Lord, not you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whatsoever believe in Him shall not perish and have everlasting life. I, said the Lord. God wants to do a new thing in Romania, and it's impossible for you to believe. Your prayer have been listened. God answered in an extraordinary way. But now God says, America, go and fill that spiritual vacuum in the Easter country. You pray, I open the door for you. Go there and fill the vacuum. You see, America after the Second World War has a special plan called Marshall for Western Europe. They help economically a lot the Western Europe. But you know, Western Europe now is dead spiritually. Dead. Completely dead. Now is the time for America to come in Easter country with the scripture, with the Bible, with the ink, with the literature. To help us to fill the void the communist has made for 45 years. I will finish telling you a story. 3 years ago, there have been on our papers, on the front pages, 40th anniversary. And so I went to the church. And I said to the people, I asked them, "Did you read the paper?" And they looked at me and said, "How can you ask us if we read communist paper?" I said, "Did you read the paper?" They said, "No." "Do read the paper now, because it's the first time in 45 years when you find on the front pages 40th anniversary of the communist leadership in Romania. You know that these words are biblically and prophetically. Biblically is the end of the desert time of communism in our country. And prophetically is young people,
prepare yourself to cross the Jordan, to be the Joshua, to conquer Romania for Jesus. And young people shouted, God is with us. God is with us. My associate was there and he was so afraid. He said, Nick, I thought that they won't allow you to finish the sermon because secret police was all the time in our church. God wants to do a new thing for us. Do you want to pray more and to try to fill the spiritual vacuum in Eastern country? Do you want to help us in every way to build the Christian university they ask for now? Hospitals, nursery, orphanages. We built in 8 months an orphanage, Second Baptist Church in Oradea, and we will start on next March for 200 orphans. We don't want the money of American to go somewhere, nowhere, because nobody knows where the money goes. We want that the church will take care of these children, give them food, clothes, and more than anything, love. Thank you so much for listening to me. May God bless you.